If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is being brought to you by Best Fiends. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what was the mysterious entity that appeared to one family bearing its horns? That's what we discussed today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, become a supporter in EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep our show in the air with it. Get our ebook, our audiobook, all of those things, the bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, the archive, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and it's all only $5 a month, and that keeps the show on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. What's going on?
I watched something over the weekend and thought of you through the entire thing.
What?
It was the Ed Gein, The Real Psycho documentary.
Oh.
On Discovery Plus.
Steve, yeah.
Shippey and medium psychic Cindy Kaza go out to Plainfield, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And investigate. And freaky, freaky, freaky.
So they believe there's like the ghost of Ed going around or what?
Well, the only thing I didn't like about it was I think they're too certain that they know exactly what's going on. And I'm always of the mindset, you know, it's kind of like this could be what's happening. It seems like this is what's happening, but we can't say for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, they went and investigated where the house stood at one time.
Mm-hmm.
They investigated where he murdered the woman in the hardware store.
Okay.
They investigated the old jail where he was kept. And they seem to be getting a lot of activity. And then they run into a guy who claims that he had one of the knives that Ed used to skin his. Yeah, right?
Oh,
right?
God.
And so they used that as a trigger object when they went back to the farm to do some more investigating.
Wow. And what did they find? What did they have happen?
Well, I mean, they had some spirit box talking. They had some EVPs, obviously. The geo port is something I've got to get my hands on that thing. I don't even know exactly how it works, but they think they had some talking through that. The big thing, it seems like, and I don't want to give anything away, but it seems like the mother in that situation was the real problem. Like she created this monster, and mm-hmm. now it seems in that town, whenever somebody discusses him or talks about him or brings up that energy, he kind of responds.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I've been to Plainfield a few times because for way back in the day, I lived up in that area in Wausau. And I remember DJing it was a radio station, like a bar remote in Plainfield.
And I didn't know, I mean, I knew the Ed Gein story, but I didn't like know where it would had taken place or anything.
Yeah.
And I remember being in there and learning about the, oh, this is where it all happened. And they're like, yeah, and across the way over there, that cemetery, yeah, that's where he's buried. But the headstone, I think it had just been stolen again at that point in time, because it's been stolen many, many times. And like, where's the last, didn't like it end up in like Washington State or something?
Yeah, they actually stopped putting one out there because people would either steal it or chip away at it to take pieces of it with them. So they stopped putting one out there. And he's literally just feet away from one of the people he murdered.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That is fucked up. I have Discovery Plus up over here in my other browser. I just added it to my list of things to watch. Well, I have to see that. I did not know that there was a paranormal version of his story out there. That's a fascinating one. I think we've talked about that on Dark Side of Wikipedia. I don't know. I think we have, but that's, wow. Well, I will check that out. Thank you for sharing that one.
I do this little thing once in a while called Twisted Towns. We talk about like, because Plainfield in general, you're like, oh, it's a nice little town. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their summer picnics and their Sunday church socials and stuff like that.
Sure.
And then there's all these little towns out in the middle of nowhere have all these dark secrets to tell, you know, and this is probably the town and the story that kind of got me interested in all these back alley stories about all these little towns and all the stuff nobody wants you to really talk about anymore.
Yeah.
But they're still there. Yeah, it's a creepy story.
Sometimes the smaller towns will have darker stories than that of, you know, the larger cities. You know,
this dude had lampshades with people's faces on him. He had a belt made of nipples. I mean, I'm not even kidding with this stuff. He was nuts.
What possesses? And there's a lot of weird killers in the state of Wisconsin. what on earth? Why? I guess is the question. Why is it that a place like that would have such? I mean, it gets so fucking dark with some of these people. Is it the long, cold winters? Is it, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something going on that makes it, I guess, a breeding ground for some of this.
I agree. And I think, like you said, the smaller the town, there's a lot of rural area in northern Wisconsin. And I think people can get away with whatever they want to out there for a long time. And this guy certainly did.
Yeah. Wow. I'll have to check that out. Okay, back to our calls and conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends, the mobile puzzle game that I absolutely love. You know, a while back when I found this thing, I was looking for a new puzzle game to play because I like to have something on my phone just to kind of, you know, kill the time, but, you know, keep your mind going. I like mind games. I like stuff that kind of exercises the mind. And I found this, and I've been playing it now for a couple years, and it has not gotten old. And I got to tell you, in the past, it's like, you know, a little bit and move on to something else. This one, because it's updated so frequently and there's new challenges all the time, it does not get old. It is like, it's like exercise for your brain. It really is. I have so much fun playing it, and I think you will too. There's literally thousands of fun puzzles to solve, and it just goes on and on and on. There's something new to play every single day. New characters to collect. You should try this out for yourself. If you've not done this and you want to get into something on your phone that's going to kind of take you away, give you a little mental break, but still exercise your brain and have some fun, Best Fiends is your game. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Our first letter today says, hey guys, I love your show. Listen to it every day. The story has to do with my son who is 11. This was his first and so far only paranormal experience. We moved in with my boyfriend and his two kids a little over a month ago. On this night, it was only my son, my boyfriend, and I at home. I told my son to get in the shower. He likes to take time and use the restroom before getting in the shower. And I often must tell him to hurry up or he'll be using the toilet for 30 minutes before getting in the shower. Enough time had passed and I asked if he was about to get in the shower. He mumbled something that I could not hear, so I asked what he said. I still could not make out what he said, but I could hear him crying. I tried to open the door, but he had it locked. I told him to unlock it. When I walked in, he was bawling. I asked what was wrong, and he could not really get anything out because he was crying so hard. I tried to calm him down and gave him a hug. He said that he was taking his shirt off and heard something stomping behind him. That's when he looked in the mirror and saw something. I obviously believe in ghosts and paranormal things, so I asked him questions about what it looked like. The way he explained this thing he saw was that it was all white, had horns, looked like a human, had a star on its chest. I stayed in the bathroom with him while he took his shower. After he got out of the shower and away from my son, I asked if my boyfriend or his kids have ever experienced anything weird in the house. He said no. I started looking up what this could be because as soon as he said horns, I immediately thought it was a demon. I could not find anything that looked even remotely close to what my son explained. A few days later, when my boyfriend's kids were over, he had my son explain to them what he saw. His daughter, who was 10, said, "That sounds like a demon." I did not say that is what I thought too, because I did not want to scare my son. The night of the incident, I was lying in bed and remembered something that had happened in my son and bonus son's room a few weeks prior. I, my son, and my boyfriend were all in my son's room and the lights flickered. It was not a quick flicker either. The light turned off for a good 10 seconds or so and then came back on. We all kind of brushed it off, but now I'm wondering if it was related. Any ideas on what this could be? Is it a demon? A ghost? I've never seen my son so scared, so I went and purchased some sage, but have yet to burn it. I'd also like to add that when we moved into my boyfriend's house, I did bring a lot of my furniture over, but I did not buy or bring anything new that might have something attached. Also, that night, he said it kind of looked like this Fortnite skin that I have included a picture of, except what he saw was white, not red. I'm not sure of the gender of the thing he saw. Oh, and the boys sleep on a bunk bed. Trying to go for a good ring there right away, but I didn't get it. So that's the end of that story. Thoughts?
I mean, from what he's describing, it certainly sounds like everything you've ever heard in lore about demons with the horns and the star on the chest and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic because typically when you hear of these or you've seen drawings of them or some sort of depiction, they're usually not white, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, you know, I appreciate the fact that she's taking it and taking it seriously and really trying to look into it and not just blowing her son off, because obviously this really traumatized him, whether it was something that really happened or it was something in his head. I appreciate the fact that she's doing that, but I just was Googling while you were telling the story, trying to find something that looked like that. And there's, you know, hundreds of depictions of that exact thing, but none of them are depicted as white.
Interesting. It makes me wonder a little bit too, if what he saw was something that was trying to come across as even scarier than it really truly is.
Right.
It's just taking the form of what would invoke the most fear. It doesn't mean it was, you know, Satan incarnate showing up in his room, but something that probably not good, but trying to look far meaner and scarier than it actually is.
Right. And I always worry about that when we're talking about ghosts and we're talking about evil and all that kind of stuff. Those things we're seeing, experiencing, are they really that, or is it something else trying to present itself that way? Mm-hmm. And that had a conversation about like chupacabra and also like Sasquatch and all that kind of stuff. Same thing. Like, what are those things really? In this case, maybe it was just something trying to impose some fear on that child.
I agree. The Bigfoots, the Chupacabras, those are, I don't get super into them, but I'm always kind of fascinated by that topic when it comes up, because it's like, is it a creature? Is it something that's just out there that we just really can't get a good grip on what it is? But I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm starting to wonder if it's not there's not some sort of time travel or travel, you know, some sort of slip in time where these things can come and go, because you can go years without somebody spotting Bigfoot and then all of a sudden there mm-hmm. he is.
Yeah.
And the same with like Loch Ness and Chupacabra and the Beast of Bray Road here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You just wonder if these things aren't something else presenting as this, and they kind of come and go in our existence here on this plane.
Sure. Chupacabras, I always find interesting, because I could see being a real legitimate animal that's just, mm-hmm. you know, really kind of, you know, out there, and just, you know, very, very elusive. Just, I mean, when you have the stories of where it's like a farm field and there's like 30 cows and their blood's all drained of them. It's like, well, what the hell did that?
You know? Right. Right.
That's got to be something that did that. It's not just like a pack of coyotes. You know, that's, they don't do that. I don't know. I saw a wolf today when I was driving. Actually,
how close to the house was this?
This was a little ways away. I had to drive to another town because I had to get a rototiller fixed because I.
Well, I'm sorry. Something else I never thought I would hear you say in my entire life.
Here's the deal. It's my girlfriend's rototiller, and I was helping to till up her garden the other day. And there's no euphemism or pun intended there. I was literally rototilling her garden. Okay.
Okay.
With gasoline, all that. And again, no, there's no puns here. And I started it up, pulled the ripcord on it. And I'm so used to all of my stuff, you really got to yank it. And did that, and I yanked it right out of the machine.
Yep.
Like, oh, shit. And it was running. So it's like, if you turn it off, you're not going to get it started again. And there was still like half a garden to till. So like, I guess I'm tilling the whole fucking thing right now. So I did. And then a half hour later, and I was completely exhausted. But I had to find a place to get it fixed. So I was driving out. It was out in the woods. It was through one of the national forests here. I think it was like the Ozark National Forest. I don't know. I passed the sign. But off in the distance, I saw like an animal on the side of the road. And I thought, oh, it's somebody's dog or something. Get closer and closer. Oh, it's a fucking wolf. And it was not a coyote. It was far larger than a coyote. And it just kind of walked across the road and ran into the other side of the woods. And I did get close enough to see it to know it was not just like a large coyote.
That's cool.
So it's kind of neat. Yeah. Now the second time I've seen a wolf around this area. Other time was up in Branson. I was on a golf course. And
I was going to say if you were using some other kind of gardening equipment or something like that.
Yeah, I was, I don't even know what I would insert there. But no, I was, I was on a golf course turning the corner, and I was with my stepdaughter at the time, and we were turning the corner, and she's like, there's a wolf up there. There's a wolf. And I'm thinking it's a coyote or somebody's dog. And like, oh, holy shit, it's a fucking wolf. And then she's like, ah! And I'm like, I put my hand over her mouth because it's like staring at us and kind of crying. Right. And we're in a golf cart with like controlled speeds. And it's like, okay, well, we're not going to tee off from there. And we just kept driving and driving. And it just kind of, its head just follows us as we keep going.
Oh my gosh.
Like, well, that's great. But yeah. Are wolves like omens or anything? If you see them cross your path or anything like that? I don't know.
I don't know. We got to look that up.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a letter. It says, this is Matthew. I'm writing in asking for your opinion. I've not had any paranormal encounters. However, I had a dream. It was a weird dream. It was with some people in the dream. We're at this lounge-like area in the woods, cabin-like. Anyway, these monsters started chasing us, and I started fleeing, running. Suddenly, it turns into a little black girl, charcoal. Black. She starts smiling at me, and then she bites me. I look down, and on my hand, I saw blood from where she bit me. It's like, what the fuck? What is this? I'm not sure what to make of it. It's a weird dream. Monsters reminded me of those monsters from Scooby-Doo in the 2002 movie that chases the gang, then it morphed into her. I'm still trying to process that. I hope I never have a dream like that again. The following morning, I was with my mom going to the grocery store, and we saw four black crows right in the middle of the road. There was nothing for the crows to eat. They just stood there. I thought that was a spiritual or a sign given to us. Anyway, enjoy the show. Enjoy listening to it. We're EPPs now. Listen to every episode and look forward to the new ones being dropped. Thanks for keeping us entertained during this unusual time. I love learning new things about the paranormal and knowing there is life out there. I was going to submit my story, but was told, 450-word medium, so they keep writing. So there you go. Interesting story. What do you make of that with signs that are just really bizarre and dreams like that that are just kind of out of nowhere?
You know, there's two forms of thinking on this, and I have like both forms in my mind, because I think four crows sitting on the road could be four crows sitting on the road. Mm-hmm. But I also think it could mean something. I think there are sometimes in nature and in life where something is presented to us that we typically may even miss because we don't notice it. And eventually we figure out what it means. The whole like charred girl and the biting and stuff like that sounds like a really, really bad dream. And I'll tell you what, if it does have meaning behind it, I'm going to put money on it that it doesn't mean anything very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, come on. If you're getting bitten by some sort of like zombie kid or something like that, it can't be a good thing.
Yeah, that would be an omen of some sort. I wonder if it reflects some sort of fear or something going on. Crows are interesting. Are you aware of how intelligent crows are?
Yeah, well, I mean, not one-on-one. I haven't had conversations or anything, but I certainly have read lots of stories about how like they're like this one of the smartest birds out there.
Yeah, it's like scary. They're known for their problem-solving skills and amazing communication skills. It says here, for example, when a crow encounters a mean human, it will teach the other crows how to identify that human. And fact also shows that researchers show that crows don't forget a face. I also know that they can use tools if given them, or not like, you know, not going to pick up like a DeWalt saw or anything and do that.
Right. But
they can do they can actually use tools of some sort, like sticks and things of that nature. But it's really kind of amazing just how smart they are and how what they're capable of for being kind of the bird that everybody's like, yeah, get the hell out of here. They're just like little evil dinosaurs that fly, you know, because they've been around for so long, but they are so creepily intelligent.
So I just quickly Googled this because it didn't make me wonder about four crows in a row. It says, if you see four crows, it symbolizes wealth and prosperity.
Interesting.
So this guy's apparently coming into money. No wonder he's an EPP now.
There you go.
He's got the cash.
They have funerals too.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you ever see a circle of crows on the ground, they're usually having a funeral for a dead crow.
That is weird because, I mean, I think of all birds as just kind of like birds, you know? I mean, it's not like one smarter than the other. One, you know, mm-hmm. that's actually kind of freaky.
It is. I've seen it like once or twice. I didn't know what I was looking at the time, but then I learned about it. I'm like, oh my God, like they mourn their dead. That's how, they're just scarily intelligent little flying monsters.
Well, I guess I'm never leaving the house again.
One more reason to be a hermit.
That's right.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear your ghost story.
All right, so I was about 9 years old, and we've been in this house since I was one. All right. We have a workout room in the basement, bottom left, and we've known to have ghost occurrences, shadow people on the walls, but we never thought anything of it. We went to our dad's friend's house, and I did my normal thing, playing, running around, It's until we learned that when we were leaving, we saw a person next to us walking in the middle of the night, about 1 a.m. at night. So I'm walking next to his house, and we wondered, oh, it's nothing. Nothing about it. Never, don't think about it, right? Backed up, and he's gone. And we called my dad's friends, saying, is anyone outside? They said no. Everyone was in their room, drinking, eating, watching sports. They said, no one's upset. So we moved on for our life, and that was that. Until later on today, I went to the workout room and saw a, I don't know if it was a ghost or a shadow person moving into the back left corner of our basement, which is our workout room where we got a treadmill, exercise bike, weights, pull-up, right, all the stuff you'd see there. And I went there. I went to investigate with my sibling. We did an EVP, which we just got an app called EVP, did it, and we asked if anyone else would talk to us, and said, a faint whisper, we still have it on our iPad. No, like a faint whisper. And I ran out scared, right? So a couple weeks later, this is in the summer, a couple weeks later, we saw another one. And this couldn't be our shadows, because, like, right, the lights are off. All lights are off except stairlight. It's carpeted basement, full complete basement, and we stopped moving into our laundry room where we have a metal train area, right? Storage. Well, we stopped moving into there. We went in there, did our little reading, got nothing out of there, but in the night we'd always hear creaking, tapping, right? product of it, nothing of it, housemates, right? Just housemates. Well, one night we went down there, stayed the entire night in the basement, and I just felt someone poking me, tapping my face, poking me in the face. I woke up and I told my siblings, Sam, to stop. To my horror, he was still asleep. So I went back to sleep, tried to ignore it, and then I looked at my phone, 4 a.m., right? Felt more tapping, and we do have a dog that likes to jump on us, so I went to investigate. My dog is sound asleep in my parents' room. My sibling is still asleep, right? So the next day, I asked my sibling, were you tapping me? Were you poking me? He said, no. I'm like, all right. I asked my mom and dad, it's our dog, Sheriff, the puppy, still in his bed. He said, yes. So the next day, we went to our house, our dad's friends again, good friends with them. And they have a bottle of holy water, and this is again in southern Wisconsin. Older, we went back in time, flashback, right? But 2012, they said that they, when they came here, there was burglary, sorry for my language, someone robbed their house, or the people that lived there before. And there was a shootout, and two people died, right? So people that owned the house before him kept a bottle of holy water in the one light, flickering light room, and no one went back there besides to get batteries, tools, stuff you would only need rarely, depending on where you store it. So one day, like idiots we were, we tried to sleep in that room, sleeping bags sprawled out. And we went in there right away, flashlights and all, and right away, boom, two of our flashlights gone. Like, drained of their power. Look, it was fresh batteries, too. So we went, got new batteries, tried again, used it, and then we told the ghost, is there any ghost on here? Turn off the flashlight. Flickered, it went off. All right. I'm a skeptic, though. So I thought nothing of it. My sibling was freaking out. Right. But besides that, that's been the real thing. There's been no demons, no attachments, which I'm thankful for. I'm religious Christian. There's another thing that my grandma experienced. It's when her mother died. And when she was at her deathbed, she could smell roses. In our religion, roses usually mean Mother God, right? Or the Mother of Jesus, Mary. She smelled roses and was like, does anyone else smell that? And my dad's siblings said, no, they didn't smell anything. She was the only one that smelled roses in the room. And it was just an interesting story. One more here. I was playing an online game with my parents. This was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And we 100% did not prank anyone. In the middle of our call, we were all on the FaceTime with a chime. And someone entered, no one entered the FaceTime. But we heard chime. I'm like, say, example of my friend, Jim. Not his real name, for privacy reasons. I'm like, Jim, you playing chime? He said, no. And privacy reasons again. Say, Luke, not his real name. Luke, are you playing chime? No. And we were all kind of laughing at it, and then it left, right? The end of the FaceTime, it was gone. Then, later in the night, I heard chimes again. I woke up, a non-sleep paralysis. It's interesting. And I went to my friend's house, right? I'm like, did you chime in the middle of the night? He said, no. Went to my friend's house, who we were playing with all together. Right? I'm outside, so it's a bit windy. And I got work out done, so. That. But anyways, I said, did you hear chimes? He said, no. So, kind of interesting. Again, I've been listening to the show for a long time, big fan. And sorry for me, out of breath. It's 70 in southern Wisconsin. Not used to it, when Wisconsin's always in the 30s. So, anyways, stay safe. And just an interesting one. That's what you guys might like.
Thanks for sharing that story. You know, as much as we get into ghost stuff today, I kind of miss the days of being a teenager and being into ghost things, because everything was so, it was almost spookier. There was more of the unknown that was out there, and there was a kind of a magic to it back then that I think we all kind of chase a little bit, but it's never quite the same as those like teenage days of, ooh, something spooky.
Well, because now, you know, people do research and stuff like that, and it's presented to us, and now we have some answers. We don't have all the answers, but we have more answers than we did then. Mm-hmm. And so, like, this guy, you know, well, stuff seems to be going on in this room. Let's get our sleeping bags and sleep in here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly, that's the kind of wonder that you're talking about, being excited about it, wanting to kind of be scared, wanting to experience stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think we have lost a little bit of that just because we do have a little bit more information now.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, like, people who investigate to get answers sometimes take it a little too seriously. Like, just enjoy yourself doing it. Like, yeah. Have some fun with it. Keep the research going the way it should be. Some scientific stuff in there too. But if you get a little creeped out, that's okay. You don't have to, you know, not everybody's got to be have, you know, the nerves of steel to go through this stuff. Enjoy it because it is beyond all of our comprehension at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Harper was, I almost bought a ghost box last week. Harper,
so,
really,
so an SB7, a spirit box,
one of them. It was a custom one that, somebody, the guy who helped create the actual concept of it, was helping me kind of look, and I've had him on the show a couple times, on the Grave Talks, and we were talking about it. I'm still kind of debating if I want to get one or not or what, because I want to start getting some equipment here and there. Harper wants to start doing some investigating, and we're thinking about kind of doing some stuff on our YouTube channel with it. So I don't know. I'm just debating what I want to go with. What would you recommend for someone like us, where it's just, you know, it's the two of us. We're not going to get a crew or anything like that, but we want to try and get, you know, some interesting evidence here and there, and be able to kind of document it and just have some interesting experiences. Obviously, just, you know, having a tape recorder and, you know, I have like a Zoom 4 or whatever, that I use to make commercials when I'm on the road. But right. I know that's like typically what people use for EVPs and such. But I got that. But other than that, what would you say would be something good or some good stuff to have on hand?
I always ask the question, your pick two. So what I mean by that is always have a good camera.
Okay.
Always have some sort of digital recorder. The better, the better, mm-hmm. obviously. So those are kind of givens. What other two would you take with you? Well, I would definitely take a K2 meter.
Okay.
I've just had really good experience with it. And I really feel like it does a good job at picking up what could be man-made energy and not man-made energy. Mm-hmm. So a K2 is definitely there. Flashlight, definitely take that for safety reasons, but get one that you can actually use to investigate.
Okay.
So get one of those mag lights that you can actually do the twisty turny thing with. That's kind of important as well.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I would definitely take along, and it's kind of a split. It would either be a laser grid.
Okay.
Or a REM pod.
The REM pod does what?
REM pod can tell if its energy field has been, something has broken its energy field. So it creates a field.
Okay.
And if you put your hand in there, it can tell that something has entered it. If nothing is there and it goes off, that obviously shows you that some sort of energy or some sort of being is near it.
Okay. So when you're out there and you're using it and it's, is that where you would like ask it, like, can you turn the light on this thing? Or is that what the REM pod does? Or
you can use it as a communication device. Okay. You can ask them to enter your area.
Okay.
And go near that device to let you know that they're there. But you can also say, okay, back away from it. Now, you know, if you make this light up, I'm going to take it as a yes. If you don't make it light up, I'll take it as a no. And then you can go through a series of questions and see what you get.
Okay. I was also curious. I can't find one anywhere. The Ovilus, I find that to be a fascinating piece of equipment. And I have, like, you know, some of the apps on the phone, but I don't. I was trying to find an Ovilus online, and I can't find it anywhere to buy one.
I've used one of those like maybe twice.
Yeah.
In the past, I like them. I don't know how I feel about them. Again, now if something happens on the Ovilus and then you get something on the REM pod and you got audio at the same time within like a couple of seconds, bam, something just happened.
How frequently do you come across having EVPs?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. It's probably the thing that happens more often than not.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to know because I already have the equipment to do that. And I was talking to Harper about that the other day, and I was like, you know, that might be our best thing, you know, initially to have is that, and just trying to go out and see what we can get on that as well as, you know, whatever else we can muster up. But
what's really scary is having a studio in my house. When my mom died, mm-hmm. I was getting interference and stuff in my audio, and
really?
I couldn't figure out what it was. And I thought it was some of my equipment because, you know, I'm going to go that route first.
Sure.
Changed out a couple of things, got some new wiring. Didn't stop until all the energy that happened after she passed away finally stopped. And then the interference that I was getting within my recording equipment finally stopped.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
So audio is huge with me. And because we work in it,
yeah.
Like if something's there that wasn't there,
uh-huh.
That means something to me.
Remember back in the day when you're in the studio and you'd pick up CB radios in our headphones?
Yeah, the cops would be coming. Yeah. You'd hear the cops through.
Yeah, that or truckers and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
All of a sudden, you'd be completely in silence. All of a sudden, breaker 1427. Like, what the fuck is that? Oh,
what was that?
Yeah. Today it'd be like ghostly, but I don't think anybody uses CBs much anymore.
That's a shame. We should bring those back.
Those were fun. Didn't you? I think we both did this at some point. We created pirate radio stations out of our homes. I did it using a CB radio once. I mm-hmm. keyed the mic and I had some way to hook it into a board. And I started playing. I got like a copy of our automation system, some automation system. I think it was the newsroom automation system. And I had like sweepers I made and everything. I was like 16 and and I had a giant antenna that you're supposed to like put on your house. But I just leaned it up in the corner of my bedroom because I was on the top floor. And I started broadcasting and I did like a half hour straight of all, you know, music and talking like a radio station.
Right.
And then I unkeyed the mic and, all of a sudden there was, one of the, in our hometown, it was called the React Team, I believe it was. There would be the folks that show up in the orange vests and direct traffic at like the county fair. And they were kind of pretend police officers. They probably couldn't get it because they probably went past a drug test and they're probably perpetually drunk usually. But they tried their part, but they all had CB radios, like 50 antennas on it. And I remember this one guy just driving back and forth in front of my parents' house. Like, I think we know where I think it's in one of these houses. It's around here somewhere. I'm like, oh, maybe I should stop this.
I did something similar. I never got caught for whatever reason. Maybe my antenna wasn't leaning properly in my bedroom or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like exactly something he would do.
Yeah, it was. I think you may have like just moved when I did that. I think.
Dang.
Yeah. But didn't you take, there was another broadcast thing that we have and we used to in radio when we'd broadcast from a location. It was called a MARTI unit and it broadcasts a really clear signal back to your station. So it doesn't sound like it's over a phone line. And we used to have quality standards in radio, which don't exist anymore. And we tried to sound good. There was like an old crappy unit that was in the back of one of the closets. Didn't you take that and try to create a pirate station out of it once?
I did that for a while.
Yeah.
But again, that takes up a channel on the scanner. Somebody's going to find you and turn you in. I didn't at that point, you know, I wasn't rich, so I didn't have the money to pay the FCC when they came down to shut me down.
And who's going to listen to it either? I mean, it's like you have to like a police scanner really to pick it up, wouldn't you?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So we're only broadcasting to the Fond du Lac React Team.
But they're out front. They're going to find you.
Exactly. They will find you and take you down. So look out because they when you see five whip antennas on the back of that station wagon, you know.
And it's five station wagons going down the road. It's kind of like that movie Twister where they're out looking for the tornado.
It really is. Oh, good times. All right. That's going to rest. So this is a shit we did before podcasting existed. Then it's like, oh, podcasting. Okay. We can do that legally.
Right.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.